Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Disney Parks Podcast. Disney Parks Podcast is your source for Disney Parks news and information from the Disney parks around the globe, including in-depth interviews with your favorite Disney correspondents and so much more. Thank you so much for tuning in today. My name is Park Hopper Sid, and I come to you from www.parkhoppers.com and teamparkhoppers.com. As always, we are joined by the ever adorable Krista Joy from DisneyWays.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show.
And the ever lovable, ever huggable Mr. Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com.
Hello, Musketeers.
Hi, this is Mike Brazil, voice of the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover. As we approach the Tomorrowland Transit Authority station, our Grand Circle tour is coming to an end, but not to a stop, because you're listening to Tony, Sid, and Krista on the Disney Parks Podcast.
You may recognize our guest today as the voice of the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover in the Magic Kingdom, or as the voice you hear as you relax and enjoy the boat ride through the Living with the Land attraction at Epcot. You may also be surprised to learn that he has actually done a lot of additional work for Disney movies and more. A seasonal musical composer, double Emmy winner, and now nominated for another in 2013, he's a family man and an all-around great guy, Mike Brazil. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Your job B.
Well, that's a great question. There's so many attractions to voice in the park. But I think I've got one picked out. And if I could do another voice, I would love to do Spaceship Earth.
Oh, that would be fantastic. I can see you doing that, too. Or I guess hear you.
That was nice. What a fantastic attraction. I enjoy it. I have a great time. Every time I'm there, just riding in it and experiencing it, I would love to be a part of that.
Have you been back, Mike, since they changed it over where you're a little cartoon head at the end?
I don't know if I have been back.
Yes, it's kind of new. It's like a new. I hope I didn't spoil it for you, but
not at all.
It's a new little surprise ending, so it's a lot of fun.
That's fantastic.
I don't know, but you'd be going up against Dame Judi Dench.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's correct. No, she does a fantastic job. She's fantastic, of course. But that would be my dream job, were it to be offered.
Yeah. Yes. So do you have a favorite? Because that's had a couple of different narratives, Mike. Do you have a favorite that, you know, like Walter Conkret or Gary Sinise or...
Yeah, Sinise is fantastic, man. You know, it was a surprise to find out who, celebrity-wise, had done voices, and I didn't know why I didn't recognize them. But, yeah, it's amazing to hear their voice. When you hear them, you know, wow, that is just quality right there. Yeah. It's amazing to hear those guys.
Yeah, I think probably one of the, you know, I said this to some other people I've been on, but I think one of the most overlooked thing is, you know, some of the people... You know, behind the attraction that are doing the voices and the narration, you're not always paying attention to, you know, the time and effort that has to go into, you know, putting out that quality product.
Yes, and Disney's pretty strict with their standards as well. But it means really that we've done our job. If you didn't know you were being spoken to or being presented information. Of course, people enjoy the voices, but our job is to sort of be in the background and sort of take you through a story, a journey.
Yeah. We know you do a lot of composing as well. Do you have any, you know, great composing projects that you're working on or anything, you know, do you like composing more than the voiceover? Do you like, you know, producing the music?
I'm sorry. I didn't let you finish. I apologize.
No, I'm good.
Well, I love music. That was my first love. I say it past tense because, of course, I love voiceover as well. But I had that in my head ever since I was 7 years old, music. And I remember it very clearly. I was at my grandmother's house. We were being watched, my four other brothers and I. Just during summer break, my parents had to drop us off, so we weren't latchkey. And we ended up playing on my grandmother's piano. for the longest time. And it just at one sitting, if you will, one session, it just got into me. I don't know how, but it was like electricity. It was amazing. And I knew that I had to have this thing in my life forever from that day. So I had that in my head as a strict, streamlined focus. And right after high school, I bolted out to California to go live the dream, in quotes, if you will. And I had managed to make a lot of relationships and get a lot of experience and record albums and songwrite and produce and even score films. I got to tell you, had a fantastic time doing that. One of note that I really appreciate is Dream On, Silly Dreamer. I'm not sure if you guys know of that short film directed by Dan Lund and Tony West, but that has everything to do with Disney's rise and fall in the animation world. Mm. It's a wonderful short film. I scored it with a partner of mine, Kuno Schmid, a German composer. And we tried to harken back to the Sherman Brothers days of Disney, not so much the piano stuff, but the really orchestrated, lots of strings type of scores. Check it out when you get a chance. DreamOnSillyDreamer.com.
Now, I apologize. I don't know this. Was this a movie you did for Disney?
No, we did this about Disney with Roy's blessing.
Oh, now have you composed any music for Disney?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
Lots and lots, and that's all the information we get.
No, I wish I could say lots and lots. I want to. Maybe you guys can help in that. But I got to tell you, a terribly exciting thing for me, and I mean this, and this was something I actually called home about, and I'm not joking. I picked up the phone, so excited. I called my mom. Mom, I've never done that before with the projects I've worked on, but this one I did. I had to, because it was an epitome of things that I had worked on. It was the merging, almost literally, of voice and music, and I'll get to that story right here. It was when I called my mom and said, Mom, you won't believe this, but I have been able to do voices for Disney parks. And she was very excited about that. I was like, yes, but the last one I've gotten, the most recent one, was Tomorrowland Transit Authority. And she was excited about that. I said, but check this out, Mom. This is why I'm calling. Outside of saying I love you and thank you for raising me, I wanted to let you know that your son, who's narrating the TTA, that ride, that attraction goes through Space Mountain, which I composed for Florida. So there's a merging of my creative abilities, which I'm so thankful for. You get to listen through the TTA as you hear the music that I've written for Space Mountain down there. I've called that piece of music Mount Bop. And I am so proud to be able to say that I've done that. So honored that they asked me to do that. I can't tell you. I just feel so blessed to be able to do that, to be in the circles of Michael Giacchino, who did the one in California. Now, the one that I wrote is more free form. It is not it's not absolutely composed to any particular movement in the track, simply because that's not the way they arranged it. But I'm so proud to have that happen.
Okay, that's amazing. To tell you, I love that music. The music makes the ride. And then there's that whole section where you go through the tunnel. And between the music and the red lights, and then my husband and I actually add a, let's say, a little scat piece to it that we do every time we go through. We love it because the music really, you know, it's something that's fantastic to build upon and make it your own when you're going through there. And we have a little dance and everything. You'd laugh.
You're kidding. You know what? You know, in the composing or the composition of that particular piece, I got to tell you, I was trying to throw everything in there. You know, they came at me with direction. All right, Mike, we want it to kind of sound like this, this. Can you do this? I'm like, yeah. And so I threw some stuff in there, and they're like, okay, that's all right. So I started to massage it a little more. And I said, hey, now, wait a minute. What if I put like a little whoop, whoop? Would they like that or would they hate it? So I threw it in there. They didn't say anything at all. And I even put a vocoded Space Mountain, like a robot voice, Space Mountain. I even did that for them. And they never rejected it. I was like, hey, you know what? This is cool. So I was very, very pleased to be able to just kind of, you know, they let me go. And I was able to write this thing. And I'm very, very proud of how it came out. So I'm happy. I'm excited that they allowed me to do that. It was exciting.
Well, you have fans. You have fans for that music right here.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It was fun.
I wonder, that's very special that you're actually, your voiceover is on the ride, and then you ride through Space Mountain where you've composed the music. I bet you're the only person that can say anything like that has happened in their career. That's really, really cool.
You know, I have to agree with you. It is so special to be able to do that. I mean, here I am, a guy from Ohio, you know, I just a small town, and I can't imagine being blessed to be able to have this opportunity. So I got to tell you, I'm nothing but unbelievably thankful.
Okay, I have to ask, I'm going to interrupt. What part of Ohio?
The northwestern part. I was born in Lima and raised in Bluffton.
I'm from Euclid, and all my husband's family is in Worcester.
No, come on! It's amazing. I love it. It's a small world. Don't get me singing now.
Oh, come on. Please? Will you please break into song, Chris?
It's a small world after all. That's all I get.
Yay!
Is there anything this man can't do?
Oh, yeah, tons. Ask my wife. I've got a big list of things I haven't been able to accomplish yet.
Okay, well, yeah, but, you know, dishes and recaulking the bathtub, and that doesn't count. That's not important.
Yeah, right?
Well, let's go on another area here, and let's talk about your work with Disney Feature Animation. Can you tell me, we'll go into the ones that you've actually been involved with, but what would your dream job be in a Disney movie? Not necessarily voicing, but overall, what would you like to do the most?
Well, what dream job for a Disney movie? That is a good question. That's a stumper. I don't know. I truly don't know. Maybe to produce or to write. Or to direct. Everyone likes to do that as well. But their process is fantastic. I mean, I'd love that. They are all about story. So they won't allow something that doesn't resonate with their audience to come through. I really appreciate that about that. They're a machine, but well-oiled. They understand that they've been doing it for a while and have achieved, I guess you could say, some success. Wink, wink, with that. So I would love to just be a part of it in any way, truly. And that's sort of a cop-out answer. But yes, I enjoy my time there, I guess I should say.
Oh, I think Krista has a way to get some details out of you. Don't you have a list, Krista?
Yeah, well, I have a list that I understand you're part of. You'll have to confirm for us. And also let our listeners know, like, where if they can see you or hear you in each movie, if you'll just tell us kind of what scene or whatever. I guess if you want to, do you want to start with Brother Bear?
Yes. I didn't do too much with Brother Bear. I mean, I was on the entire show, but I didn't do too much myself in that movie except assistant production manage. That's what I did. So I handled the back end, which is the computer animation production system. I did that with a team of managers, and we basically made sure that the paper artwork got scanned in. From there, it got colored, inked, painted, sent out to processing. When it got brought back to us, we called the directors and we showed them the final color version with sound, and they approved it, and then we actually cut it in to the film, and then we archived all that paper footage and the data as well. So that's really kind of what I did. It wasn't too creative for me, but it was still fun.
Essential, very essential. Yes. Still, that's very important.
Yeah. Mike, was Brother Bear done down here in Florida?
It was.
Yeah, man, that's what I thought.
It was
fun. Realize you started that description with, I really didn't do very much.
Yeah.
And then gave us a 4.5-minute list of what you oversaw.
He's so humble.
That's funny.
And then what about Tarzan?
Yeah, Tarzan was fun. I mean, I loved Tarzan. And I'll tell you, I worked on Tarzan to train for my role in Florida. That's what that was for me. And I got a chance to work in the Hat Building. I'm not sure if you know that, but right out there, of course, on the 134 freeway is the, you know, the Disney Feature Animation Building. And I didn't work at that building when I first started. I worked at what they call the Skunk Works Building, which is a couple miles away in Burbank, where they built the SR-71, or at least they planned it there. And Feature Animation took it over a while back when I first started. And I think that was in 95. No, 97 is when I started there. But see, now I lost my train of thought here. I was, I'm yakking too much. I lost it.
Can you remind me? That's okay. Tarzan.
The hat building.
Thank you. Sorry. Thank you. So I got a chance to work in the hat building, which was Roy's office. He was never there, but it was cool that that hat itself was Roy's office. I thought that was very, very cool. So I got a chance to work on Tarzan. Again, it was assistant production managing, but that's the only movie that I never actually had a credit on, even though I worked the entire thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because they never actually hired me on, I don't want to say this. They have a crew list, and I was never on that crew list because they knew I was in training to go to another film. But I worked on the entire thing, and it was wonderful.
Well, there you have it. I'm glad you were able to share it with us today, at least. So
well, thank you.
Okay, how about Beauty and the Beast?
Beauty and the Beast. You know what? What was so fantastic about that one? Because I worked on the reinsertion of Alan Menken's song, Human Again. So what I got to see was absolutely incredible. For a somewhat Disney-file for me, it turned me into a true Disney-file once I got a chance to know what was happening. And I'll be very clear here. They had went to the they had gone to the Animation Research Library and requested the original artwork. And there were some people on that on the show that worked on Human Again that had worked on the original as well. So to be able to actually touch and see the original Beast artwork and Belle artwork. It was absolutely amazing. We had to be super careful and all that stuff when we were shooting it, when they were inserting these new shots. That was something to see, I got to tell you. It was amazing.
Wow, that sounds awesome. And how about Atlantis?
Atlantis, I didn't touch too much of, but this is one of four films that I'm actually in. And when I say in, I kind of say it in quotes, but my kids, this is another thing my kids love to talk about. Can I tell you the story real quick?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so here I am at Feature Animation, like I said, coming from Ohio, so I'm just blown away by everything that I see. These animators are stars. I mean, they're amazing, and they're nice people to boot. Who could imagine? So I'm walking around doing my job. I'm a PA at the time, so I'm doing whatever it is they need me to do. I get called into an animator's office, and this is around lunchtime. No one's really around. And so I go in, and his name is Ron Husband, great animator, and he asks me to sit down in his chair. So I do. I just take a seat, and he said, hey, here, hold this. And it's a bowl. It's like a Chinese bowl or bowl for rice. And then he handed me chopsticks, and he said, stay still. So he sort of posed me, like moved my hands into a particular position, and he starts to draw. I'm like, hey, what are you doing there? He goes, don't worry about it. Just stay still. And so I'm freaking out. I don't know. I've never posed before. You know, I've seen these guys do this stuff. It's the coolest thing in the world. So he says he's done after a little while, and I go, okay, cool. What are you going to do? He goes, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So I said, all right, and I walk away, and I don't know how many weeks later it was, but he comes back to me, and he shows me what he was doing, and it was a model sheet for Dr. Sweet. He goes, I was going to see if I could get your visage approved for Dr. Sweet, and he did.
Get out of here. Wow.
So I guess I'm Dr. Sweet, if you will. I mean, I'm not really. The actor is Phil Morris, but they sort of made it look a little like him as well, like they're supposed to. But that's me. I posed for the original character model for Dr. Sweet.
Very cool.
That's very cool. And that's kind of how I worked on Atlantis.
This is so fun. Thank you for going through all these with me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. You kidding?
Oh, please tell me you have more, Krista.
There's more.
Yay.
John Henry.
John Henry. Okay, that was one of the first films I worked on when I got down to Florida. And that was a fun film. That was very enjoyable. And the reason why was because the art style of that film was something different than the artists were prepared for. So it was really cool to see everybody kind of dig in and get into their creativity and bring this thing to life. It was amazing to see that one. Now, I'm in that one as well. At this time, I'm in that one as myself. I am the preacher with the glasses that marry John and Polly in the beginning. I just throw my hands up I think I got a Bible in my hand, and I just throw my hands up, and they get married, and I think the thing shatters, the glass shatters at the end. But look for that one.
There you have it. We'll look for that one.
Absolutely.
And how about Emperor's New Groove?
Okay. Now, this is right after Beauty and the Beast, Human Again. Once we were done with that, they sort of sent everyone everywhere else to start working on the next films. I got sent to Kingdom of the Sun, it was called, as a matter of fact, when I got on it. And that was from a previous director that I had worked with when I initially got into animation. And that was Cats Don't Dance. I started there from Turner Feature Animation in 95. And so the director was Mark Dendel. And so I got sent over to his film, which was Kingdom of the Sun. As a matter of fact, it was being co-directed at the time. So I get over there, and I'm starting to shoot scenes and do the stuff that I'm supposed to do normally for production management. And they call me back and say, hey, you know what? We're having script problems, so we're going to need to go back into development. And we're therefore not going to be working or going forward with the film. And that's when it became Emperor's New Groove, and I wasn't on it anymore. I had gone to Tarzan.
Aww.
Yeah.
All right. Goofy's How to Haunt a House.
Yeah, now that was a fantastic show to work on. That came, I think, right between, if I have my order right, I think it was John Henry first, and then Goofy, How to Haunt a House. So we were trying to fill some time and keep the artists working there in Florida, which was a fantastic show. I had never gotten a chance to work on one of the classic characters. So to be able to work on that was just, it was fantastic. I mean, it was wonderful. So much. It's Goofy. Yeah, how could you not like Goofy? You know, you got to be Goofy. So it was wonderful to be able to do that, but I did nothing but production manage on that one. It was fun.
Is Goofy still your favorite character?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I love it. He's fantastic. He's just not assuming. He trusts everyone. I just love his heart. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's a good guy. You just can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, I have one last one, and then you can tell me what I missed, because I'm sure I missed some, but I also have Fantasia. What do you do on there?
Okay, Fantasia. Mind blown again. I mean, honestly, to be able to work on this piece was amazing, simply because of what came before it. And the, like I said to you, very much so, Walt's Dream, I'm very tied into. I just love people with vision. I absolutely love that. And to sort of pull from deep from within this vision and have other people see it, have other people work on it until it comes to this thing that you couldn't have even imagined it was going to grow to. So that was fantastic to be able to start on that project. And really the piece de resistance for me is getting to see Roy. That was an amazing, I couldn't tell you, I know I keep saying that, but I was so, I was trying to, I guess, get you to understand how awesome it was to see this man walk down the hallway that looked just like Walt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Say,
hi, Mike. How you doing? He'll call you by name. And he wants you, well, he wanted you to call him Roy. You couldn't call him Mr. Disney. It was amazing how they kept that even for him. And one of the coolest things for me was walking to a screening one day. And I don't even know how this happened. We were all going, all of our departments, and I found myself between Michael Eisner and Roy Disney. I'm not kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
We're all just walking in the theater, and I was like, what is happening? I was like, I should not be here. But I enjoyed every second of it. So I should tell you, I'm in Rhapsody in Blue. Now, I'm the African-American character riding on the subway. If you get a chance to watch that particular piece, I'm in a black suit. And Eric Goldberg, he did that for me. And what a huge honor that was. And the only reason why I know that is because his wife said, she came up to me, she said, Mike, did you get a chance to see Rhapsody in Blue? And I said, no. She goes, did you see yourself? I said, what? She goes, yeah, come here. I'll show you. So she brought me into her office and showed me the scene. I was like, are you kidding me? And she goes, no, yeah, that's you. And the reason why I want to tell you this is because Eric Goldberg, and I always tell everyone what I do. I tell them I do voiceovers and I do music. And so I told everyone there when I was working there that I did that. I got called into Eric Goldberg's office one day. And by the way, Eric is the animator for Disney's The Aladdin, the Genie character. And he's done a whole lot more. It's unbelievable. So he called me into his office, and he says, Mike, I heard that you write music. Is that correct? I said, yes, it is. And he goes, okay. And he pulls out some paper, and it's five songs, and it's five lyric sheets. He goes, Mike, I'm going to pitch a movie, and I'd like for you to write music to these songs, and you and I can both sing them. I was like, are you okay? Okay. So don't say no to Eric Goldberg. I went away and started writing songs, and I came back, and I showed them to him. He approved them. He actually sang on some of them. I sang on some of them, and we pitched it. Eric did. I wasn't part of the pitch, but he pitched it, and it was well-received. And that movie was The Frog Prince. It was his version of The Frog Prince. I'm not sure if that actually became what is now Princess and the Frog, but they bought our songs. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge, huge boost for me. I felt so thrilled and honored to be able to do that. And that's why I mentioned Eric Goldberg, because I worked with him on Fantasia. Wonderful, wonderful man.
Wow, such great stories. Oh, my goodness.
Now, Mike, it sounds like you were, you know, working at Disney at the height of their animation frenzy when the, you know, everything was really clicking for Disney. I know, you know, you mentioned Roy. I know Roy was, you know, kind of instrumental of trying to bring some computer animation to Disney at the time. You know, he was trying to look at trying to, you know, maybe rather than hand draw everything, that computers could assist, you know, the animators in, you know, kind of speeding up that process. Were you involved with any of that, or, you know, do you, you know, was that, am I maybe a little bit wrong in the timeline?
You know what? There's a couple of different instances that I think you're referring to.
Okay.
The first is CAPS. That's right. What was developed by Disney for their, you know, back end production, which actually won a grant. What did it win? An Oscar? It won something.
It won an Oscar for technical achievement or something.
Yes, that's what I loved so much about the Disney company, just being technologically, I can't even say that word, technologically advanced.
Right.
They certainly did strive to do that, but then also. So while I was there, Fantasia specifically, a couple floors up, there was another digital studio being put in, and they were working on CG films or 3D films. This was before they purchased Pixar.
Right, yeah.
So you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So you were really, you know, Eisner was there, Roy was still there. It was really the height of the golden era of animation for Disney, really.
Truly, and I think I caught, we were lucky enough, my wife and I, to catch the tail end of that. That's when it started to sort of go into decline because of the other studios coming out and releasing, you know, their movies. And I know everyone knows how that goes, but we went managed to go to the Mulan premiere, and that was nothing short of mind-blowing. We had never seen that sort of lavish display of I don't even know what to call it.
Yeah.
It was amazing to be a part of that. I mean, wow, what an honor. So I got a chance to see just the tail end of that. And if you'll check out, like I said, and I hate to keep plugging this, but Dream On Silly Dreamer will really sort of touch on all that you're talking about sort of what the animators, how they used to be treated, how they used to, you know, what they used to get as their bonuses and things like that. I was never part of that whole thing, but we got a chance to see the tail end, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. We'll definitely put a link in the show notes to that as well.
Thank you.
Well, Mike, can you tell us, what is your favorite Disney film? And, of course, you're going to have to tell us why, but whether it's a movie you worked on or not, what is your favorite Disney movie?
Okay. I got to say, my favorite Disney film is The Lion King. It's got to be The Lion King.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Good choice.
And why?
Well, I really enjoy the story of redemption, of, you know, being able to come back and be accepted into the fold. After you go away, make some mistakes and learn some lessons, you come back a renewed, refreshed, more experienced individual. And then you're able to make more decisions, more wise decisions, maybe filled with more clarity than you would have had in your youthful days.
Mm-hmm. Have you had a chance to see either Lion King on Broadway, or have you seen it at Hollywood Studios?
I have not gotten a chance to do that yet. Can you purchase tickets for me?
No, but if you get the tickets, we'll go with you.
You got it. You got it.
Yeah, you definitely have a lady on each arm if you want to go. They did come here. They were at the Bob Carr a couple of years ago, and oh my goodness, it's amazing, just breathtaking. The music starts. I mean, every time I see the movie, I get goosebumps when the music starts. But you know, live and you know, there, it's amazing. It's awesome.
Wow. Well, I bet it is, and I've heard nothing but fantastic things about that. I'm saddened I haven't seen it yet.
Well, can you also tell us, I know we talked in the very, very beginning, that you are an Emmy Award-winning artist, and you even have a nomination for the current season. Can you tell us, you know, what did you win for, and what are you nominated for?
Yes, yes, I did, as a matter of fact. And what an honor it was to be able to do this. And this was last year. I had worked with a company called Sovereign Media Group, and I was part of their Wounded Warriors Tackle Mount Rainier video. And we won a Mid-South Emmy, and I was part of the voiceover for that. I voiced over the entire episode, and they put that in for Emmy. It got nominated, and we won for that one. I was very proud of that one. That same Emmy session, I actually got nominated as well for a commercial spot for a voiceover and an edit that I did for National Guard Careers. There's a lot of people on there. They're absolutely all fantastic and made this thing come to light. So it's not about me. It's about the team, and they did a wonderful job. I'm just proud to be a part of it. What a fantastic thing. And we're nominated again this year for another video. So I'm very, very proud of what I've been able to do.
Congratulations. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
When will they announce the winners?
That's a good question. Soon. I don't have any other, I don't know. I'd have to go take a look. I should probably know that. That's probably important.
Well, I know that you had said earlier that this was not, you know, we had very recently in the last week or so, we had the Emmy Awards on TV, and they kept talking about the artistic awards that had been awarded the week before that. So this is the regional awards, and these are awarded after this, correct?
That is correct. Yes, okay. Absolutely.
I'm just making sure I have my timeline right. So for anyone listening, you know, this was not recorded 3 months ago.
And then, Tony, do you have some rapid-fire questions for Mike?
Yep, Mike. Now, we don't want you to overthink this, but think like the inside the actor studio. We're just going to throw out a question and then just whatever pops into your head.
Okay.
All right, ready?
Yes.
favorite Disney park?
Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Favorite Disney character?
Wow, Goofy.
Favorite Disney restaurant?
Ooh-wee. Oh, I'll get it here. Uh-huh. I love it. It's one of my. It is my favorite. Let's see. It's one of my favorites. You can tell I like to eat. What is it? What is it?
Do you know what park it's in?
Describe it. Well, yeah, yes. Maybe we can help.
It's a. Wait. You said a restaurant in the park.
It could be or at a resort.
Okay, it's at. I can't believe I can't remember it.
California Grill.
No, I know, but I love that one too. That's fantastic. I mean, it's what's the
what Wilderness do you eat
Lodge?
There?
Wilderness Lodge.
Artist Point.
Oh yes, that's amazing.
Yeah. That's where we're going for New Year's Eve dinner.
That's it.
Okay. Favorite attraction?
Well, you know, I gotta say Space Mountain.
I would agree with you. Favorite resort?
Wow. Wilderness Lodge.
Favorite Disney snack?
The ice cream over at Belle's, or the cupboard over at Belle's, I can't remember where it is, but it's right over, it's a ice cream sundae.
Okay.
It's unbelievable.
Okay. First time at a Disney park?
Say that one more time.
First time at a Disney park.
That would, believe it or not, that was in 1999.
How old were you?
I was 29.
Wow. And how far do you live from Disney now?
Oh, hundreds of miles.
And do you have a next Disney trip planned?
Yes. Here in the fall, as a matter of fact. It's fall now. But here closer to October or November.
But you're coming for food and wine, I assume.
Are you allowed to share why you're coming?
I believe I can. There's nothing official in the books, but I might be doing a refresh for the land.
Oh, very nice.
Isn't that exciting?
Now, are you coming during Food and Wine?
No, I don't believe so, but I have yet to find out what the schedule might be.
Yeah. All right, well, you have to let us know, and we would gladly take you around, as we are a bunch of foodies also, so we'd love to get your take on Food and Wine Festival.
I love that. That is absolutely awesome.
Yeah. Well, we have to thank you for joining us, Mike. We had a great time. I hope you did, too.
Are you kidding? It was a pleasure. I loved it.
And you really have a great history with Disney, and you will be in the parks on the TTA and the land forever.
Yes.
Wow. That is something I can't fathom, I got to tell you. I don't know who can easily accept that, but I can't. That's just amazing.
And now we're all going to get to go to the parks, and when we ride the TTA or we go through Space Mountain, we know the guy that did this. Oh, yeah. No, really. We do. His kids don't believe him either, but no, we know him.
That's fantastic. I got to tell you, but it truly is an honor and a blessing, and I'm very, very thankful to be part of Disney history. I got to tell you, there's nothing like that.
Well, we appreciate all you've done.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. This has been fantastic.
Oh, this is awesome. I appreciate it, and I do it again anytime. Hi, this is Mike Purcell. Welcome to a voyage of discovery and awareness of the richness, diversity, and often surprising nature of living with the land. Our journey begins as dramatic and sudden changes are sweeping over the land. The approaching storm may seem violent and destructive to us, but it's actually just Tony, Sid, and Krista. You're listening to the Disney Parks Podcast.
Call the Disney Parks Podcast at 407-476-8898 to leave a message 24 hours a day. You can also email us questions and comments at thecrew@disneyparkpodcast.com. And you can find us at Facebook at facebook.com/DisneyPKPodcast. Follow us on Twitter, for all you Twitter lovers, at DisneyPKPodcast. Help us out by subscribing to us on iTunes. Rate us, review us, leave us a little note, and we will respond to you there as well. You can also find us on Stitcher Radio On Demand. Visit us at Disney Parks Podcast, where you can find all of our shows, our show notes, and leave us a comment. Join us next Tuesday for more news, rumors from all around the Disney parks, and we'll see you in the parks. I am Tony Castellano from Disney by the Numbers, and I ask that you stop by DisneyByTheNumbers.com, where you can read our news, our blog, see videos, sign up for our newsletter, and check out our photos and all the other good stuff that we have at DisneyByTheNumbers.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/DBTN page. I know that's a little hard, but you can follow us there. You can follow us on Twitter at DBTN. You can find us on YouTube by searching for Disney by the Numbers. You can sign up for our newsletter at DisneyByTheNumbers.com or go out to iTunes and search for WDW DBTN Facts. And you can go out to iTunes and get our iPhone app, which you can use on your iPhone, iPad, and iPod. Check out WDW DBTN Facts on iTunes.
Hi, this is Krista from DisneyWays.com, where our mission includes bringing you exciting Disney news and information that's also sprinkled with Disney Ways treasures you won't find anywhere else. We want to help answer your Disney-related questions. We do post every single day, so we hope you subscribe to our updates by email. We do have monthly prizes for our subscribers, so you're automatically entered just for subscribing. And you'll be kept up to date with our coming events and all the things we have going on at Disney Ways. We can also be found at Twitter at Disney Ways, and we do have a YouTube channel that's a work in progress, but we'd love to have you there too. So check us out on the web.
call the Disney Parks podcast at 407-476-8898 to leave a message 24 hours a day. You can also email us questions and comments at thecrew@disneyparkpodcast.com. And you can find us at Facebook at facebook.com/DisneyPKPodcast. Follow us on Twitter for all you Twitter lovers at DisneyPKPodcast. Help us out by subscribing to us on iTunes. Rate us, review us, leave us a little note, and we will respond to you there as well. You can also find us on Stitcher Radio On Demand. Visit us at Disney Parks Podcast, where you can find all of our shows, our show notes, and leave us a comment. Join us next Tuesday for more news, rumors from all around the Disney parks, and we'll see you in the parks. I am Tony Casanova from Disney by the Numbers, and I ask that you stop by DisneyByTheNumbers.com, where you can read our news, our blog, see videos, sign up for our newsletter, and check out our photos and all the other good stuff that we have at DisneyByTheNumbers.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/DBTN page. I know that's a little hard, but you can follow us there. You can follow us on Twitter at DBTN. You can find us on YouTube by searching for Disney by the Numbers. You can sign up for our newsletter at DisneyByTheNumbers.com or go out to iTunes and search for WDW DBTN Facts. And you can go out to iTunes and get our iPhone app, which you can use on your iPhone, iPad, and iPod. Check out WDW DBTN Facts on iTunes.
Hi, this is Krista from DisneyWays.com, where our mission includes bringing you exciting Disney news and information that's also sprinkled with Disney Ways treasures you won't find anywhere else. We want to help answer your Disney-related questions. We do post every single day, so we hope you subscribe to our updates by email. We do have monthly prizes for our subscribers, so you're automatically entered just for subscribing. And you'll be kept up to date with our coming events and all the things we have going on at Disney Ways. We can also be found at Twitter at Disney Ways, and we do have a YouTube channel that's a work in progress, but we'd love to have you there too. So check us out on the web.